Who are these people? As-sabirin, those who are patient. Plural of sabir. And who is sabir? One who does sabr. What is sabr? To control oneself. At what time? At the occasion of calamity. Secondly, at the time of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person is obeying Allah, he needs sabr. Why? To continue in obedience. And thirdly, when it comes to staying away from haram, staying away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that sabr is of three types. First of all, sabr on hardships. That for example, if a person is suffering from a particular disease, if a person is suffering from a certain calamity, from something that he does not like, from something that he finds very difficult, from something that he finds very overwhelming, he doesn't like it, it's very difficult for him to bear, what is sabr? To hold yourself at that time, to not let yourself give up at that time, to make yourself go on at this time. And then the second type of sabr is on obedience, to have steadfastness, to be constant when it comes to obeying Allah. Not doing something good when you really feel like it, and when you don't really feel like it, you don't do it. That's not what sabr is. Sabr is that once a person has said, I am going to do it, then he's consistent. He's constant. He doesn't give up. He doesn't stop. And remember that the moment you intend to do something good, you are going to be tested. You are going to be tested. Sometimes it's going to be a headache, sometimes it's going to be something what people say, sometimes it's the circumstances. There is always something or the other that comes so that Allah tests you if you're really committed to obeying Allah. And then sabr also when it comes to disobedience, that a person holds himself back from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this especially is needed when it comes to shahawat, when it comes to desires, especially those that which are wrong, meaning a person must not fulfill them, a person must not pursue them. For example, we learn of a hadith in which the seven people who will be under the shade of Allah on the Day of Judgment, one of them is who? A man who is called by a woman of beauty and position. For what? For zina. But what does he say? I fear Allah. So sometimes these shahawat, they are wrong, but they tempt us, they attract us. And at this time, what is sabr? To stop yourself from indulging in these things. And sometimes, a shahwa may be halal. It may be permissible. But you want to indulge in it excessively. You just want to keep eating and eating. You don't feel like fasting, despite the fact that you have so many fasts, you know, that you have to make up for. So, in these situations also, what is required is sabr. What other qualities do they have? والصادقين, and those who are truthful. صادقين is a plural of صادق. Who is صادق? One who speaks صدق, one who speaks the truth. What is صدق? When the heart and the tongue do not have any contradiction between the two. When the heart and tongue are on the same page, there is no contradiction between the two. And remember that truthfulness, صدق, is not just in قول. It is not just in words. It's not just in statements. That whenever a person speaks, he speaks only the truth. No, it's also in actions. What does it mean by that? That his actions are according to his words. That when he says something, he does it. When he gives his word, he fulfills the commitment. He fulfills the promise. As-sadiqeen, those who are true. And remember that truthfulness is required, meaning a person should be truthful with himself. He is to be truthful with other people and also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we make promises with people or with ourselves. And what do? We don't fulfill them afterwards. And over here, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا. We have believed, we have iman. What does iman mean? That a person now will do certain things and will stay away from certain things? As a Muslim ummah, as ummatan wasatan, what is our responsibility? To serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a part of iman. So what is sidq then? That a person is true to his commitment. A person fulfills his commitment. He is true to his Rabb. That I made this commitment. I made this promise. I said I was going to do it. Now he does it. وَالصَّادِقِينَ. والقانتين, and those who are constantly obedient. Plural of قانت. Who is قانت? One who is constantly obedient, and he is also obedient with humility, with humbleness. والقانتين. So what does it mean by قانتين? مطيعين, meaning those who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have consistency in their worship, and when they obey Allah, when they worship Allah, how do they do so? With humility. والمنفقين, and those who spend. منفقين is a plural of منفق. Who is منفق? One who does infaq. Remember, this is not nifaq. Nifaq is hypocrisy. This is infaq, which is to spend. So منفقين, those who spend. Where do they spend? In fulfilling shahawat? Where do they spend? Only in the way of Allah. And they forget their haqq. There is balance. And what is that balance? We learn in Surah Al-Furqan, Ayah 67, لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. When they spend, they do not do so excessively or sparingly. They are not extravagant, nor are they stingy. But between that, justly moderate. So where do they spend? They spend on the necessities, on the needs. Whose needs? Their own and their families, the relatives and the orphans and the travelers, the needy. So this includes the fard spending, that which a person must spend to fulfill his needs, his family's needs, his spouse, his children, his parents, his relatives, the poor, the needy. Secondly, spending on who? Where? In the way of Allah. And what is that? To spend on the need of Muslims. So basically we can divide spending in two. One is to spend on the needs of human beings. To feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, to feed your own self, to feed your own family, to provide education to your family, to yourself. This is what? Spending on individuals. Spending on the necessities of people. And the second type of spending is to spend on the needs of Muslims. To spend on the needs of the Muslim community. That is fi sabilillah. For example, if a person is spending on the poor people, meaning he gives them food. Okay, that's very good. Of course, that is necessary. But when he feeds the hungry person, who is he helping? Only one person. But when he spends on the masjid, then who is he helping? Many people. And is he just helping the people with their dunya? No. He is helping them with their dunya and also with their akhirah. So walmunfiqeen, those who spend on individuals and also to serve the Muslim community. And remember, when it comes to spending, it's not just about spending money. It's about spending your time. It's about spending your energy. The strength that Allah has given you. The time that Allah has given you. The ability that Allah has given you. The talent that Allah has given you. Spending that as well. On who? On people, and especially for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ, and those who seek forgiveness in the last hours of the night. مُسْتَغْفِرِينَ is a plural of مُسْتَغْفِرِ. Who is مُسْتَغْفِر? One who does istighfar, one who seeks forgiveness. So those who seek forgiveness at what time? أَسْحَارِ. أَسْحَارِ is a plural of sahar. And sahar is the time before daybreak. It's a time of suhoor. It's the time before you pray Fajr Salah. From the time that Fajr begins, the sahur, it comes to an end. So they seek forgiveness at the time of ashar as well. Why do they seek forgiveness? Why? They're doing so many good deeds. Why do they seek forgiveness? Think of it. Because as we learned in the previous ayah, that a person who truly believes, a person who wants to please Allah, then he can see his mistakes. He can see his shortcomings. Many times when we're doing something good, we focus only on the good deeds that we've done. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And we forget that maybe we have done something that is going to wipe off all of the good deeds that we have done so far. It's quite possible. So A person who truly believes, a person who truly wishes to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to be on the safe side. And in order to be on the safe side, along with doing good deeds, what is he doing? He's also seeking forgiveness. We say, I don't commit any sins. I don't eat any haram. But we don't even realize, and we commit so many sins. And if you look over here, it hasn't been said, wal mustaghfirin, those who seek forgiveness. A particular time has been mentioned. Those who seek forgiveness at the time of ashar. Why ashar? Why not morning? Why not fajr? Why not night? Why not all day long? Isn't all day long much better instead of just one part? Why ashar? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven. We learn from a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every night, when the last third of it remains, because sahar is what? Right before fajr, so it's the last part of the night. When the last third of it remains, our Lord, the Blessed, the Superior, descends to the lowest heaven. And he says, is there anyone to ask me so that I may grant him his request? هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Is there any sa'il, any beggar, anyone who wants something so that I may give him? هَلْ مِنْ دَاعٍ فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Is there anyone to invoke me so that I may respond to his invocation? هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Is there anyone seeking my forgiveness so that I may forgive him? So this is a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven and he asks, does anyone want something? Anyone want forgiveness? Anyone has a dua? This offer is made to you every night by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every sahr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks. And what are we doing? This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us every time. And sometimes, you see what happens is, we wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe we had a dream, or maybe there was a loud sound, or maybe somebody woke up and because of them you woke up. It's possible. It happens. And if you're not praying, you can still do istighfar lying in bed. You can still make your dua lying in bed. You can still ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something lying in bed. You can still do that. But those moments pass away and we're just thinking about or why we woke up. Or that you've only slept for some time, you wish you could have slept longer. These moments pass away every night and we lose these opportunities every night. Every sahur. The sahur has also been mentioned for another reason. And what is that? Mustaghfirina bil ashar. Ashar has been mentioned for a particular reason. Basically, you see, it shows that at this particular time, when a person is finally doing istighfar, it shows that his istighfar has been preceded by qiyamul layl. Because a person who prays at night, and then he seeks forgiveness after praying qiyamul layl. Why? Because when you make dua after performing a good deed, then the chances of that dua being accepted are very high. Like we learn in Surah Fatir, Ayah 10, Allah says, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. The good word, it ascends to him. وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. And what is it that lifts up good deeds up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's عَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ. So when a person does something good, then his prayer being accepted, the chances are higher. The chances are much higher. So, ashar have been mentioned in particular over here, and istighfar has been mentioned in particular because it shows that their istighfar is preceded by qiyamul layl as well. So they do qiyamul layl, and then finally, at the end, they do istighfar as well. وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ. We learn from the two sahih. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed witr during the first part. Initially, he would perform the witr salah when? In the first part of the night. Then, the middle part of the night. And then, the latter part of the night. Then, later in his life, he would perform it only during the last part of the night. Towards the end of his life, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the witr prayer when? Only during the last part of the night. And this is something that we can do so easily. Even if you wake up at 15-20 minutes before, that's also a time of sahur. وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَسْحَارِ. Look at the benefit. And if you look at it, it's the shahawat that prevent us, that stop us from getting up at that time. It's the desire to sleep. It's the desire for comfort. But if we overcome these desires, there's something that is much better for us in the hereafter. We also learn about Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that he used to pray during the night. As I mentioned to you, that it shows that they precede their istighfar by Qiyamul Layl. He used to pray during the night, and he would ask, O Nafir, he was a student, is it the latter part of the night yet? And if Nafir said yes, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu would start supplicating to Allah and seeking his forgiveness until Fajr. So he would wait until the last part of the night, and when the last part would begin, then he would begin doing istighfar especially. Recitation.
الذين يقولون ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار الصابرين والصادقين والقانتين والمنفقين والمستغفرين بالأسحار.
So if you relate these verses with the verse that we learned at the beginning of the lesson, that one is that a person pursues the desires of this dunya, that a person goes after fulfilling his desires. He is lost in the dunya. And the other is that a person is focused on the hereafter. And so everything he has, everything Allah has given him, he uses that to attain his akhirah, to make his akhirah. And part of that is that whatever a person has been given, he benefits from that in a way that it helps him be successful in his deen. For example, in this ayah, munfiqeen has been mentioned. How is a person going to spend his time or his money or his wealth or his energy in the way of Allah if he doesn't have it? So, the balance is that a person does not abandon the things of the dunya, but rather, he uses them to acquire the akhirah. And at the same time, he does not get lost in these things either. Shahid Allahu, Allah witnesses. Annahu, La ilaha illahu, that there is no deity except him. There is no one who deserves worship except him. Who else witnesses to this? Wal malaikatu wa ulul ilmi, and so do the angels and those of knowledge. So Allah, the angels, and those people who have knowledge, all of them testify to the fact that annahu la ilaha illahu, that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Shahida is from shahada. And what does shahada mean? To inform of something that one has ilm of, that one has knowledge of. So Allah witnesses to the fact that there is no God except Him. What does it mean by this? Allah gives shahada. Allah bears witness to this fact. Allah testifies to this fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifying to this fact means that He informs the people. He notifies to the people. He declares it to the people very clearly. That He has informed us that there is no ilah except Him. For example, when a shahada is given in a court, the person who is bearing the witness, what is he doing? He is informing the other people about what exactly happened. So, Allah bears witness to this means that Allah informs the people, Allah declares this, and He makes it clear for His creation that there is no God worthy of worship except Him. So, Allah gives shahada, meaning Allah has bayyana, meaning He has clearly made it known to the people, He has notified to us. How? In the Qur'an, through the messengers, through the scriptures that He has revealed. And also, He has clarified this to us, how? Through His creation. That all of them point to what? To the fact that there is only one being after all of this. Because if you imagine, if there are two or more figures who are running a particular system, then obviously there's so much fasad. Just imagine a company or a government or a house or an institute, if it is run by more than one people, then what happens? There is power struggle and there is fitna and fasad everywhere. Nothing can run smoothly, nothing can run properly. So the fact that the heavens and the earth are functioning so perfectly from the beginning till today, what does it show? That there is only one being behind all of this. So Allah has shahida, meaning He has informed us. How? Through the scriptures, through the messengers, and that He has made it very clear to His creation that there is only one God worthy of worship. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. Who else bears witness to this fact? وَالْمَلَائِكَ. The angels also testify to the fact, how? Through their acknowledgement, through their affirmation, that there is only one ilah. Who else bears witness? وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ. And those people who have knowledge. The knowledgeable ones also bear witness to this fact. Who is included in ulul ilm? What ilm is this that these people have? This ilm over here refers to the ma'rifah of Allah, the recognition of Allah. Those who know Allah, those who recognize Allah, those who have their ilm of Allah. And who are they? It's not just those people who are professors of biology and of science, but who are they? Those who have their ilm of the deen of Allah. They bear witness to this fact that there is only one ilah. There is only one who is worthy of worship. Now we see over here that Allah bears witness to this fact, and along with Him the angels and the people of knowledge also do the same. Now, isn't it so that the testimony of Allah, the shahada of Allah, is enough? If Allah tells us something, is that not sufficient? Is that not enough? Of course it is. So how come the shahada of the angels and of the people of knowledge has been mentioned over here? It is for their honor. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them by mentioning that even they testify to this fact. It is a source of honoring them, that even they testify to this fact that there is only one ilah. What do they testify? That annahu la ilaha illahu, there is no God except Him, and that Allah is qa'imam bil qist. Qa'imam is from the root letters qaf wa mim, and qama yaqumu means to stand, and qama bi means to maintain something, to look after something. So Allah is qa'iman, meaning that He is maintaining, He is upholding, He is looking after what? His entire creation, the entire khalq. How is He maintaining and looking after the entire creation? Bilqist, with the justice. Now the word qist is from the root letters qaf, seen, ta, and the word qist is used for justice. Literally, the word gives us the meaning of a portion of something, a part of something. Taqassata is to divide something. And qist gives us the meaning of being just, being equal. And in particular, this conveys the meaning of refraining from zulm, staying away from injustice. That there is no injustice, no zulm is done upon anyone. So Allah is qa'imam bil qist, meaning He is maintaining and looking after the entire creation. How? With justice. He does not do zulm on anyone, on any creation. And He bears witness to this fact. And the people of knowledge also bear witness to this fact, that in the decree of Allah, in the system of Allah, in the way Allah provides for every creation, there is no injustice. In the way Allah looks after every creation, there is no injustice. And also, قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ, maintaining everything with justice, it also means that in His commands, in His ahkam, in the commands that He has given, in the commands that He has legislated, in the decisions that He has made, whether they are kauni or they are shari, there is qist. There is justice. Allah does not do zulm on anyone. As we have learned in Surah Al-Baqarah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not overburden the soul with more than what it can bear. So whatever decision that Allah makes, it is with qist. It is with justice. There is no injustice. Whether that decision is of the deen, or it is of the dunya. For example, when it comes to the commands of the deen, Salah. You have to pray 5 times a day. Is it dhulm? No. Is it unfair? No. Similarly, when it comes to zakat, giving 2.5%, is there any injustice in that? No. Similarly, fasting only 1 month of the entire year, is there any injustice in that? No. Injustice would be if we were required to fast 11 months, that would be very difficult for people. Similarly, Hajj is only once in a lifetime. So the commands that Allah has given, there is no injustice in that. The decisions that Allah makes, the decree of Allah, even in that, there is no injustice. Everything is based on qist. We see that the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs the universe, even in that there is justice. For instance, we learn in Surah Yasin, ayah 40, لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارُ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. It is not allowable for the sun to reach the moon, meaning to surpass the moon, nor does the night overtake the day, but each in an orbit is swimming. So everything that Allah has created, everything that Allah has legislated, it is based on justice. La ilaha illa hu. There is no God except Him. Who is He? Al-Aziz, the Always Almighty, and He is also Al-Hakim. He is also the one who is most wise. If you look at this ayah, La ilaha illa hu has been mentioned twice. First of all, it has been said that Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illahu. And then after qa'iman bil qist, he again says la ilaha illahu. So how come la ilaha illahu has been mentioned twice? Ja'far Sadiq, he said that la ilaha illahu has been repeated because the first time that it has been mentioned, it informs us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us of the fact that there is only one God. And the second time that he mentions that, he's telling us, say la ilaha illahu. Qulu la ilaha illahu. When you see that everything is running with qist, the system of Allah is based on qist, then say la ilaha illahu. When you see the commands of Allah, when you see the rulings of Allah, when you see the decree of Allah, what does that prove to you? That there is only one ilah. There is only one Allah. Allah is one. Therefore, believe in that. Accept that. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is maintaining everything with justice. And we must also avoid dhulm. We should also maintain justice. We learn from a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the companions, do you know who is a muflis? Meaning someone who is very poor, who doesn't have anything. The companion said, a muflis amongst us is one who has neither dirham with him nor any wealth. A person who does not have any money. He doesn't have any cash, he doesn't have any property, no assets, nothing. The Prophet ﷺ said, the muflis of my ummah would be he who would come on the day of resurrection with prayers, with fasts, with zakat. But he would find himself bankrupt on that day, as he would have exhausted his funds of virtues. Why? Because he hurled abuses upon others. In the dunya, along with doing good deeds, what did he do? He abused other people. He unlawfully consumed the wealth of others. He shed the blood of others and beat others. And sometimes literally, people are physically violent against others. That when we can't say something to the other, when the person is not listening to what we're saying, what do? Physical violence, physical abuse. And sometimes we see this within siblings, in a house. Children learn violence in their own houses, in their own homes. So such a person will come on the day of judgment while he will have committed all of these abuses, and his virtues would be given, would be credited to the account of one who suffered at his hand. Meaning they will be given to the one whom he did zulm upon. He will come on the day of judgment with a whole lot of good deeds, but he will become bankrupt. Why? Because he did zulm on people. One person he was rude to, another person he beat up, another person, he hurled bad words at him, abuses at him. So what will happen? His good deeds will be given to them. And if his good deeds fall short to clear the account, then the sins of other people whom he did zulm upon, they will be given to him. And he would be thrown in the hellfire. This is who a muflis is. This is who a muflis is. Someone who does zulm. What is justice? That whatever the right of the other is, it is given to him. And what is zulm? When we don't give the right of the other him. When we want something else for ourselves and something different for other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just and He likes justice. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam. Indeed the religion in the sight of Allah, meaning the approved religion, the approved way of life, the acceptable way of life, the only deen that Allah approves of. What is that way? It is al-Islam. It is the way of Islam. It is a way of submission to Allah. And what does Islam include? Believing in all of the messengers, from Adam alayhi salam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Believing in all of them. So the deen in the sight of Allah is Islam. It is the only religion that is acceptable. Why? Because it is the religion of Allah. That is the deen of Allah. It is the deen that Allah has taught mankind from the very first day. That is the deen that He gave to Adam. That is the deen that He gave to Ibrahim, to Nuh, to Musa, to Isa, and finally to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, this deen is what deen? Which was given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's the only religion that is acceptable to Allah. Why? Because all the other religions, they're either not divine, they're either not from Allah, or if they were divine once upon a time, they have been altered. So the only religion that is acceptable to Allah is which religion? Islam. Which includes believing in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many people say, that if there is a person who believes in the prophets, and if he doesn't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's the big deal? But the fact is that Islam includes believing in all of the messengers. All of them. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِي. And if a person disbelieves even in one messenger, that iman, that Islam, is not acceptable. Therefore, if a person claims to be a believer in the prophets, but he rejects even one messenger, his iman is not acceptable. وَمُخْتَلَفَ. And he did not differ. Who did not differ? الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. Those people who were given the book. Who are the people who were given the book? The Jews and the Christians. They did not differ concerning what? Concerning the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Concerning the truth of the Quran. Concerning the correct deen. إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمِ. Except only after knowledge came to them. Meaning they only differed after knowledge came to them. And what was the difference then? That some believed and others disbelieved. But why did they do ikhtilaf? بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Because of envy amongst themselves. We see that the Jews and Christians, they refused to accept the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after they had known about his coming. After they knew about the fact that he was definitely going to come. And those at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they saw all of the prophecies being fulfilled in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of those prophecies that were mentioned in their scriptures. And then they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lot of them they also believed. So this is what their ilm is referring to. They knew of the signs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They saw him. Some of them believed, but still they disbelieved. And because of this, their disbelief is based on what? On knowledge. It's deliberate. And Allah says it is baghyam. It is because of baghi. It is because of rebellion. It is because of jealousy. Meaning they differed because of baghi. Not to prove the truth, but out of stubbornness, out of jealousy. And what was that jealousy? That how come he is from the Bani Ismail and not the Bani Israel? Many times we see that a person sees the truth. He recognizes the truth. Yet, what does he do? He doesn't accept it. Why? Because it goes against his desires. It goes against his wishes. And sometimes it goes to the extent of iman and kufr. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ. And whoever disbelieves بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ, in the ayat of Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ السَّرِيرُ الْحِسَابِ. Then indeed Allah is swift in taking the account. Sarir is from the root letters Sin Ra Ain, Surah. What does it mean? To be fast, to be speedy. What does it mean by this? That Allah is Sarir in Hisab. That in bringing about the Hisab, Allah is very Sarir. The dunya is going to end very soon. اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَ. The Sa'ah has already drawn near. It's not too far away. What is it that makes us think that we can do whatever we want? I have time. It's okay. No big deal. I have a long life to live. What does Allah say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ السَّرِيُّ الْحِسَابِ. Allah is swift in bringing about the hisab. The day of judgment is not too far. Your death is not too far. And secondly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ السَّرِيُّ الْحِسَابِ. What does it mean by this? That once Allah will begin the hisab, He will begin questioning, He will begin the accounting, then He will do it very quickly. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيُّ الْحِسَابِ. So what should we do? We should take account of ourselves. We should analyze our actions, our deeds. What is it that is driving me? Is it baghi or is it truth? What is it that my actions are based upon? Is it just stubbornness? That just because I don't like this person, so no matter what they say to me, I'm not going to listen to them? Just because I don't agree with them? Just because they're not my type? Or is it the truth that we're following? When we read these ayahs, we think about the Jews and the Christians who existed a long time ago. Yes, they were very bad people. But we see that very similar actions are also common amongst us. Look, they had ilm, they had knowledge. But still, despite having knowledge, what did they do? They did not accept it. Why? Because of baghi, because of jealousy, because of envy. And many times, a person is offering the truth to us. He's telling us that which is right, but we don't accept it. Why? Because she is telling me. Because he is telling me. Don't tell me. This is what we want. Nobody should tell us anything. Baghiyam bainahum. Baghi amongst themselves.
Recitation.
شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وما اختلف الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءهم العلم بغيا بينهم ومن يكفر بآيات الله فإن الله سريع الحساب.
Let's listen to the recitation of these verses from the beginning.
زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب قل أأنبئكم بخير من ذلكم للذين اتقوا عند ربهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وأزواج مطهرة ورضوان من الله والله بصير بالعباد الذين يقولون ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار الصابرين والصادقين والقانتين والمنفقين والمستغفرين بالأسحار شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما الرحيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وما اختلف الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءهم العلم بغيا بينهم ومن يكفر بآيات الله فإن الله سريع الحساب
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته